Welcome to On the Way, where we walk through scripture in episodes that are short enough that you can listen to them on the way to your destination, and deep enough to help you on the way to becoming who God created you to be. We are being sanctified. We've not yet reached perfection. We are not yet in heaven, but we are on the way. Today we're continuing our journey through the book of Titus. Today we're in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. This section opens with a statement about grace and its ability to bring salvation to all people. Remember that salvation includes both justification and sanctification. In other words, the salvation that has been given to us offers us forgiveness and it sanctifies us. It changes us into the people that God created us to be. For the last 2,000 years, Christians have gone back and forth arguing about what grace accomplishes for us. We swing the pendulum back and forth between what Frank Viola calls libertinism and then the other side, which is commonly called legalism. Libertinism is flawed because it fails to recognize the severity of sin. Instead, it totally focuses on the liberty that grace gives us. Libertine Christians usually end up focusing on things like social justice. They talk very little about removing sinful behavior from our lives, and they just kind of focus on the liberty that is given to us by grace. Then there's the other extreme, legalism. Legalism overemphasizes the negative effects of sin, and it overemphasizes the rewards that we get for good behavior. And neither of these two extremes properly represent the grace that God gives to his children. And since we're studying the book of Titus, let me tell you a story about my son, Titus. Not long after he turned two, Titus learned how to turn light switches on and off, and he loves turning on and off the lights. I think a lot of kids too. The problem is that it requires one of us to constantly lift him up so that he can turn the lights on and off. But the other day, he decided that he was going to try to do it on his own, so he started looking for something that he could stand on in order to reach the light switch. So he ran to the sink, he grabbed a wet washcloth, he laid it out on the ground and stepped on it, hoping that it would make him tall enough to reach the light switch. And he was so confused when he still could not reach the light switch. So he reached down, he flattened out the cloth and straightened out the corners, trying still to use the washcloth to reach the light. That is legalism. Legalism is based in the hope that we can do something, that we can stand on some platform, that we can stand on our good works and somehow reach something that is just completely out of our reach. There's an awesome passage in Jeremiah chapter 12 and 13 in the Old Covenant where the prophet Jeremiah is complaining to God about the prosperity of sinful people. He's angry at God. Why do you let these people prosper? Jeremiah said, "Why are the wicked so prosperous? Why are evil people so happy?" That's Jeremiah 12:1. But it's God's response that to me is so hilariously awesome. God says, "Don't worry, I'll make sure the evil people are punished." Here, I have an illustration for you, Jeremiah, he says. "Go buy a loincloth, go buy a jock strap and put it on. Wear it and don't wash it." Jeremiah is probably thinking, God, why do you want me to walk around in a stinky jockstrap all day? Oh, I get it. This is an illustration. You're saying that the sinful people are like a stinky jockstrap. good one, God. You're so funny. Then God tells him to go down to the Euphrates River and hide the jockstrap in a hole in the rocks. Jeremiah is probably thinking, oh, I get it, God. This is an illustration of how you're going to punish my enemies. I'm supposed to take the jock strap down to the border so all the evil people and all these immigrants and our nation's enemies have to smell it when they walk across the border, when they come into Israel. Haha, good one, God. So Jeremiah put the jock strap in the hole, loincloth or whatever. A while later, God told Jeremiah to go back to get the jock strap. And when he did, he realized that it was all rotted and full of holes. It was now completely useless, unless you feel like wearing a jockstrap that can't do its job because it's full of holes. Then God said to Jeremiah, "This shows how I will rot away the pride of," not the enemies of Jeremiah, "the pride of Judah and Jerusalem." God dropped the mic moment. Your enemies aren't the loincloth. Jeremiah, the loincloth, it represents you. You and your pride and your stinky, rotting loincloth hope for achieving anything on your own. God said, "As a loincloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me, says the Lord. They were to be my people, my pride, my glory, an honor to my name, but they would not listen to me." They're not my pride and glory anymore. Now they're a jockstrap. When we don't listen to God, when we don't obey his commands, we become less and less useful to him and potentially more stinky. So this is how we think about evil in our world. We're so quickly to see it in other people, to recognize it in our enemies, but we're really bad at seeing it in ourselves. We elevate the sins of other people and we justify and decrease the severity of the sins that we commit. We think, "God, I'm a good guy, so why does everybody else have more money than I do?" God's like, "No, you're not a good guy. You need my forgiveness just as much as your enemies do." God's standard is perfection, and until we are in heaven, we're probably not going to reach it, so we need God's grace. We need God's grace as much as the person that we are most tempted to judge. Both libertinism and legalism are fueled by the same motivation as the first sin of Adam and Eve, pride. It all goes back to the garden. When we sin, we minimize our sins and we emphasize the sins of other people. The only solution to our pride is the gospel. Bad news that leads to good news. The bad news is that you are naturally sinful and you cannot save yourself. The good news is that God can. Bad news that leads to good news. It's an invitation to put your hope in God instead of in yourself. The book of Titus is a book of hope. Paul is teaching Titus how to teach people to put their hope in Jesus and in his return. He says, "We look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed." In a sense, God's glory was revealed to us when he came to earth, but the resurrected body of Christ is not like it was before. The full glory of God was not revealed to us when Christ came to earth. There is another time coming. And next time when he comes, he's not going to come as a baby in a barn. When he returns, everyone will see him in his full glory, not held by a human body, but released in its full glory. We can't get to him. So he came to us, and he's coming again. Okay, so we talked a lot about legalism, but the fact that legalism is wrong does not mean that we shouldn't try to do everything that we can to become more and more like Christ, to become the people that God created us to be. We can't swing the pendulum the other direction either. Sanctification, the second gift of grace, is just that. It is a gift. We can't earn it, but we sure can receive it. We sure can allow it to fully change us and make us into the people God created us to be. It's not enough just to know how to do something. You have to actually do it. It's not enough to know how to cook. You have to actually cook for your cooking knowledge to actually make a difference. It's not enough to know how to exercise. You actually have to do it. It's not enough to know what Jesus teaches. We have to actually apply his teachings to our lives. His teachings should change us. They should make us who he created us to be. It's easy for us to just keep living like we did before we were saved and blame the Satan for everything bad that has happened in our world. But if God's grace doesn't change us, we have to eventually point the finger at ourselves. A lot of the things that go wrong are our fault. Our choices and our actions cause the pain that we hate so much. Our pride, our anger, our self-centeredness, they cause our pain. Satan probably doesn't even know your name. Satan is a finite being just trying to grab a couple people as he can. He can only be in one place at a time. And right now I'm guessing he's in Afghanistan or something. But you, on the other hand, pose a great threat to you. Jesus makes our lives better, and he makes us better at life unless we don't let him, unless we allow sin to make our lives as bad as Jesus warns us that sin can. Then Paul concludes Titus chapter 2 with an encouragement for his disciple. He says to Titus, "You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say." When the Apostle Paul says you have authority, then you have authority. Paul was a leading Pharisee, a Roman citizen, and a respected teacher who was leading a rapidly growing movement. His words meant something, and Paul was ordaining Titus. We pastors go through this same process. Elders in our tribe determine who is and who isn't ready for leadership in a church. And when they determine that someone has the unique skill set, the knowledge, the morality, and the wisdom to lead a church, they ordain that person in order to give him or her authority to teach, to lead, and to disciple. And that is what Paul is doing for Titus in this letter. It is a gift to Titus. Go and lead the church of God. And that concludes the second chapter of the book of Titus. If you're getting together with a group to discuss this episode, we've included some discussion questions in the show notes. And if you have time, spend a few moments in prayer before your gathering. Ask God to use these passages to form you into the person that he created you to be. Thank you for joining me for this episode of On the Way. Next week, we're going through Titus chapters 3, verses 1 through 11. Here are the discussion questions for this episode. Number 1. Are you more tempted to swing your beliefs pendulum toward libertinism, focus on the liberty that grace gives, or legalism, focused on the rewards that good works bring? Number 2. Why are people so tempted to try to earn salvation? Why do so many people think sinning will make them lose their salvation? Number 3. What motivates you to continue growing and becoming more like Christ? Is there anything that would make you more dedicated to that process? Number 4. When we sin, we cause pain. What are some examples of ways that sin causes pain? Number 5. Paul went out of his way to give Timothy the encouragement that he would need to lead the church, and that gave him courage. Has anyone ever encouraged you in this way?